and our bodily needs are reality by these people, the godly dimension of existence is reality, total reality. These are the brains, the heads, in which the Father's essence is so conspicuously projected. But since we are all one whole, and this is our spiritual nervous system, so via these heads, we are all connected essentially to that same essence, because we are all brain on some level. Even the toenail is a brain on some level. The brain is its vitality, is its spiritual nervous system. So therefore, every neshama is a chelek elekam imal mamash in that sense. Let's see it inside. Mikal makayim. What's the difference between nefesh, ruach, neshama, yechida, chaya? We can discuss it later. It's not connected to what we're talking about now. Mikal makayim. Nevertheless, you see the line that starts makayim. Mikal makayim. Nevertheless, shayrish kol hanefesh, ruach, neshama, kulam. The root of every nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Meireish kol hamadregis atzayif kol dargin. From the highest of all ranks to the lowest. To the lowest of all ranks, which are those souls, hamalubish begufa miyaretz v'kal shebekalim, those souls embodied within the illiterate and the most light-minded of light-minded Jews, nimshach mimayach ha'elyen shi'ichach me'ila kivayach. All are derived, as it were, from the supreme mind, which is defined as chachma ilah, supernal wisdom, referring to the divine wisdom. The divine chachma in Kabbalistic terminology is called chachma ilah, the supernal wisdom. All souls come from there. Kimashal haben hanimshach mimayach ha'av. It's analogous to a child who is derived from his father's brain. Even the nails of his feet come into existence from the very same drop of semen which comes from the father's brain. How then, will you ask, were the nails created from it? By being in the mother's womb for 9 months, v'yarda mimadrega lemadrega, descending degree by degree, lishtanais ulis havais mimenetziparnayim, changing continually until even the nails are formed from it. So although the child's organs all derive from the same source, the drop of semen which comes from the father's mind, yet they develop into entities as radically diverse as nails and brains. V'im kol zeh. But nevertheless, notwithstanding this drastic variation of organs, oidena kshura umiyuchedes, biyichud nifla v'atzum, bimohusa v'atzmusa harishen shayisa tipas marechav. It is still bound to and united in a wondrous and mighty unity with its original essence and being, namely, the drop of semen as it came from the father's brain. Although the semen was now converted into a toenail, it is still connected with its original essence, with its first essence. How is that? So he explains. Because v'gam achshav beven, even now in the sun, now yinika satziparnayim v'chayusam nimsheches me'amayach shebereish. The nails receive their nourishment and life from the brain that is in his head. The nails derive their life from the child's brain. The nails are subservient and subordinate to the brain. They are an extension of the brain. They are intrinsically connected to the brain. And the brain of the child, that is the seat of his identity and of his consciousness, certainly always remains a projection of the father. So thus, even the nails are also in a wonderful and mighty unity, bound up with their essence presently. Not only did they stem from it, but even now, they are intrinsically connected to it. Ki de'isa b'gemara nida sham, as it is written in Gemara Nida over there, the Nida that was quoted in the beginning of the Tanya, that an oath is administered to every soul, be a tzaddik and not be a rasha. The next page in Nida, the Aflamid Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara says that every single human being has three partners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, his father and his mother. The Gemara says his father and Shreduivin, the white semen, Shemimenu Gidim Vaatsamiz Vitsipornayim. Ukamesha Kasuf. Beitzchayim Shara Hashmal Besaid Levushim Shaladamarishim Beganaiden. In Eitzchayim of the Arizal, in the Shar, the portal, which is called Shar HaChashmal, which is Shar Mem Aleph in Eitzchayim at the conclusion of chapter 1, the Arizal discusses the esoteric principle of Adam Harishain's garments when he was in Gan Eden, Shahayu Tzipornayim Ibchinas Mayach Tvuna, that they, the garments, were of nails, derived from the cognitive faculty of the brain. It's a long discussion over there in Kabbalah, how the garments of Adam, nails, when in Gan Eden, before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, were connected with the cognitive faculty of the brain. So just as physically we see, the Gemara says that the nails stem from the white of the father's semen, the same is true in the esoteric dimension, that even the nails of Adam Rishon were intrinsically connected with his cognitive experience, which is, of course, the Mayach. So now, the Alter Rebbe concludes that V'kacha Mamish Kivayachal, exactly so as it were is the case, B'sheirish Kol HaNefesh Ruach HaNesham Shekhol Yisrael L'mayla, is the case with regard to every Nefesh Ruach HaNesham in the community of the Jewish people on high, that they all stem from the same source. They are all a projection of the divine essence. But by the soul descending degree by degree, through the evolution of the worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yitzira, Asiya, the worlds of Atzilus, the world of emanation, the world of Bria, the world of creation, the world of Yitzira, formation, and the world of Asiya, the world of action, Mechachmasa Yisbarach, which is an evolution from his chachma, from his wisdom. Just as in the physical metaphor, the semen which comes from the father's wisdom evolves. So over here, the wisdom evolves through many worlds and realities. Kidiksiv, as it is written in Tehillim Kuvdalet, Kulam Bechachma Asisa, you have made them all with wisdom chachma, which means everything emanates from chachma, which is the source of the evolution. Everything was made, created from Chachma. So through this descent, Nishavu Mimenu, Nefesh Ruach HaNeshama Shel Amei Haaretz Upchusei Erech. Through this descent, the Nefesh Ruach HaNeshama of the ignorant and least worthy came into being. Ve'im Kol Zeh, nevertheless, notwithstanding the fact that they have already became souls of lower levels, Aydena, they remain bound and united with a wonderful and mighty unity with their original essence, Shehi Hamshachas Chachmei Elah, namely an extension of Chachmei Elah, supernal wisdom. How is that? So the Alter Rebbe explains, Ki, because Yenikas v'chayus nefesh ruach neshama shel amei haaretz, who mi nefesh ruach neshama shel hatzadikim v'achachamim rashi bnei Yisrael shebedera. For the nature and life of the nefesh ruach neshama of the ignorant are for the nurture and life of the nefesh of the ignorant are drawn from the nefesh ruach neshama of the righteous, of the tzadikim and the chachamim, the sages, the heads of Israel in their generation. Ubezeh yuvan maimer hazal. With this, we will understand the statement of Lama Chazal. Al pasuk uladafka bay. On the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech uladafka bay, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, La'ava Hashem aleikecha, to love Hashem your God, uladafka bay, to cleave unto Him, ki hu chayecha va'erech yamecha, because He is your life and your length of days. So Chazal and Mesich Tekzuvis, Dafkof Yud Aleph and Medbeis, ask the question, Ola Dafka Boy, how could you connect to Hashem? How could you connect to the Shechina? We are corporal beings of flesh and blood. How could we cleave unto the reality of the Shechina, the reality of Hashem. So the Gemara explains, Shekal hadavek b'talmidei chachamim, ma'ila alav ha'kasuf ki'ilu nidbak b'shechina mamash. For one who cleaves to a Talmud Chachim, I'm sorry, I said Shekal hadavek b'talmid chachim, it's not plural. Shekal hadavek b'talmid chachim, ma'ila alav ha'kasuf ki'ilu nidbak b'shechina mamash. Someone who cleaves onto a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, is deemed by the Torah to have actually become attached to the Shechina, to the Divine Presence. And this is seemingly difficult to understand. A Talmud Chacham is a human being, of flesh and blood, a human being like other human beings. So how does the Gemara say that by cleaving and connecting yourself to the Talmud Chacham, the Torah deems you as if you are davuk with the Shechina mamish? How do we understand this? Derech Agav, before we go to the answer, this is a Gemara, as I mentioned, the Ksuv is Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Rambam in Hilchus Deis, Perek Vav Halacha Beis, also says, Mitzvahs Aseh Lehidavik B'Tchachamim B'Talmideim Kedei Lilmid B'Maaseim Ke'inyan Shenemero by Sidbak. He uses another pasuk, but he says it's a mitzvah to cleave unto chachamim and their talmidim to learn from their ma'isim, as it says, kai sidbak. Amru chachamim befirush mitzvah zui dabek b'chacham b'talmideim. Our sages interpret this mitzvah as meaning that one must cleave unto chachamim and their talmidim. Similarly, Rashi says this also in Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph, all based on the Gemara and Ksuvos. But how are we to understand this? Ki al yidei dveka b'talmidei chachamim. Because through attachment to Talmidei Chachamim, to the Torah scholars, Kshura is Nefesh Ruach and Neshama Shalami Yaretz. The Nefesh Ruach and Neshama of the ignorant are bound up Umiyuchades, and they are united B'Mehusan Harishayim with their original essence, V'Sharsham, and their root, Shebechachma Ilah, in supernal wisdom, in the divine wisdom. So what? So it's only Chachmei Law. So the Alter Rebbe continues, no, Shehu Yisbarich v'Chachmasa Yechad. He and his wisdom are one. V'hu Hamada Chulu. And Hashem says is the knowledge and the knower, like the Alter Rebbe spoke in the beginning of the period from the Rambam, that Hashem and his wisdom are not two distinct entities, but rather he is the knower and he is the means of knowledge, the cognitive means of experiencing knowledge. So Hashem and his Chachma are one. So when you are connected to Chachmei Law, you're connected to the Shechina itself. That's the explanation in Keilu Nidbak B'Shechina Mamish. Because Chachmei Law is one with Hashem, so therefore Chachma can be defined as the Shechina. And this is the explanation in the Gemara, that connecting to the Shechina is through Talmidei Chachamim. What does that mean? What it means is as follows. When you connect to the Talmid Chacham, to the Rashi Alfi Yisrael, who is the brain, who is the head, in the sense that by him, the godly essence and origin of Chachma is a revealed, conspicuous reality in his life in every aspect, and you are connected to him, so what this does to you is you're also part of that brain reality. You are also connected with your first essence, which is Chachma. Since that is our essence, our origin, it just assumed a new identity. So by an active connection to our brain, we are connected to our first essence, which is the Chachma of the Father. So therefore, Kol Adavik B'Talmidei Chachamim, Ma'ila Lav HaKasav Kilu Nidbak B'Shechina Mamish. There is a Gevaldika Chsam Sefer. In Shal Satshuvah's Chsam Sefer, Erechayim, and Simen Kuf Samachvav, that it's a very common phenomenon that when you're talking to a king, you get, or to a hierarchy, you take someone who's well-experienced, someone who's an eloquent speaker, who has the proper choice of words, and can convey them in the most superb fashion to get the message across. So although you want to talk to the king, you take another person who is more professional to talk to the king for you. He says, Yidden, when they talk to Hashem, don't need that. They have an essential connection. They could talk directly to Hashem. They don't need an intermediary to interpret, to explain, to enlighten, to get the king more enthused about your beseeching. You have a direct connection. He says, that's, however, if you're coming to another person, So regarding Hashem, what are you going to a Malach for? You have a direct connection to Hashem. But he says, regarding when you come to another Yid, Ach kol Yisrael shutfim echad, v'guf echad v'nefesh echad. All Yidden are partners and are one body and one soul. U'kesha echad mitzayir gam chaverim margish v'imay mitzayir. When one Jew is aggravated and in pain and grief, the other Jew, on a true level, senses it and feels it and is also in pain. When one Yid davens for another, he has to become sick on it. He has to feel for him. He has to see himself also ill. So when two Jews are aggravated, and one Jew is in the pchina of a leg, and one is in the pchina of a head, it's much better that the head should go in to talk to the king than the foot. And he gives a mashal, a Talmud Chacham is in the pchina of a head. So when a Jew is aggravated, the Talmud Chacham, the head, feels his pain. Because it's one body, it's one organism. This is the leg of this brain. This brain is the spiritual nervous system. So if there's a choice who should go on the head or the leg, the head is usually more eloquent. So you come to the head, you ask the head to daven. And that's the whole idea. The Gemara says in Baba Basad of Kufta Zayin that Kol Sheyesh Lechayla B'Tech Besi Yelech Eitzel Chachem V'Yivak Shalav Rachemim. If you have a chayla, you should go to a chachem in your city and ask Rachmanis. And it's the concept of Rashi Alfi Yisrael. Because in addition to the Rashi Alfi Yisrael being the facilitator of our connection with the Father, being that they are the spiritual nervous system, they sense the pain of every Jew. And this is a second role. It's not second as something different and alien, but just in talking and making sense out of it. This is the second aspect of Rashi Alfi Yisrael. That they sense the pain and feel the pulse of every single Jew. When you're an arm, not necessarily you sense the foot. But the brain is the spiritual center nervous system of every aspect of the body. And therefore the Rashi Alfi Yisrael, who is the brain in this world, senses the physical and spiritual pain and agony and problems every single Jew, no matter where they live, what type of Jews they are, where they come from, where they're going, because this is a part of the brain, it's an extension of the body. It's part of the body, part and parcel of the body. So when we understand that when the Alter Rebbe talks over here about Talmidei Chachamim, I believe he's not just referring to a Yid who has a good mind and studied a lot of Torah. But in line how he explains it in the Tanya, we understand the definition of a Talmud Chacham over here is much deeper. It's a Jew who not only studied the Torah, but became one with Torah. It's a Jew who Torah is the reality of this Jew's life. It's a Jew which makes in his very flesh and blood real, on the most deepest level, the Torah of ink and parchment. It's a Jew which every fiber and sinew of his existence attests to the truth of Hashem Echad, that there's one Hashem and there's nothing else besides him. It's a Jew who experiences that every day of his life, every moment of his life, the pain and the agony of every single Jew, of a man, a woman, and a child. It's a Jew who facilitates and integrates Klal Yisrael. It's a head. And in every generation, Hashem planted these heads, these Rashi Alfi Yisrael. These are these Jews. And this is also the Jew who realizes the unique preciousness of every organ. Because the brain is the spiritual nervous system that integrates them as a whole and can also teach every organ its unique function and mission, which it can implement in its life and it's indispensable for. In a sense, it can be seen, the Reich, as a conductor of a large symphony or orchestra. Every symphony is one person who has a unique instrument. And your instrument is indispensable for the concert. And if you will decide, I don't want to play my instrument, there is something missing in the beauty of it. On the other hand, if you want to take on someone else's instrument, no, that's also wrong. Your shleimus, your perfection is playing your instrument. And you have something to contribute that no one else has to contribute. And the same is true with every neshama. Every neshama is one organ, one limb, or a part of a limb that is indispensable in the sense that it has a unique contribution which Hashem designated for it through its specific journey of evolution that it has to achieve in this world. And then you have the Rashi Alfi Yisrael, which is the head, the spiritual nervous system, that sees it all on that perspective and can help every person appreciate their distinct mission in the global collective organism, just as in our physical brain. We must be in tune with our mind to know what our hand has to do, what our foot has to do. Spiritually, if everyone wants to fulfill the shlichus, the mission of their soul on earth, they have to turn to the brain. The brain is the one who imparts the collective mission and destiny of the entire generation and of every single Neshama individual. That is the Rashi Alfis. So even if someone will rebel against the head, it's still his head. But if someone has the opportunity to make the connection to the head a conscious issue in his day-to-day life, this will make godliness and alakus and emes a vibrant phenomenon in his life.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's why you see that
Yeah.
Let's learn another few lines, the parentheses. The Rebbe now adds and clarifies in parentheses, as for those who willfully sin and rebel against the Talmidei Chachamim, how do they receive their spiritual nurture and life? Since they are Jews, every single Jew has an neshama chelek lekamim mal. He's essentially connected, he's part and parcel of that single unit, the spiritual organism that constitutes the body of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, essentially, he also receives life and nurture. So the Alter Rebbe says, how does he receive the spiritual vitality? Yenikas nefesh ruach neshama shalahem. The nurture of their nefesh ruach and neshama comes from the hind part, as it were, of the nefesh ruach and neshama of the scholars. Later in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains more in detail what does it mean when we say, when we talk about nurture which comes from achirayim, from the hind part. And the metaphor that's usually given for it is the manner in which a man gives something to someone he really dislikes. He's really not interested in giving it to this person. The reason he has to give it to him is by external factors and necessities. So the grudging reluctance with which he gives will be reflected in the manner how he gives it. He'll turn away from him. He'll toss the object over his shoulder. When you're giving something to someone who you love, who you have a powerful affection to, then you give it mepchinas panim. You look, you gaze at the person with love, with affection, with warmth, and so forth.
On the other hand, if you're giving it just because you're forced to give it, you're coerced to transmit it to the other person, so it's done mebchinas achirayim. This is physically, and the same is true in the spiritual sphere. When spiritual nurture is given willingly, it's called b'chinas panim. It's given from the depth of the giver. He's interested in it, he loves it, he enjoys it. His fervor, his energy, his vitality is imbued in this transmission. But when something, when nurture is given unwillingly, so to speak, it's described as coming from the hind part of the giver, which means it's coming from, it's an external level of it's a very external level of nurture which is alien to the true essence, desire, and identity of the transmitter. So the Alter Rebbe is making the following point. Every single Jew, by virtue of him or her being Jewish, always receives their spiritual, godly nurture and vitality from the tzaddikim and the chachamim, which are the minds of their generation. Even a Jew who despises the tzaddik and the Talmud Chacham, who talks against the Talmud Chacham, who dislikes him, and so on and so forth, that Jew at that very moment is receiving his godly vitality from this tzaddik, from this Chacham. But unfortunately, since he chose that the relationship should be a negative one in a conscious way, so the communication of this energy is mebchinas achirayim from the hind part. But that energy is still being communicated to him under all circumstances. So again, by way of illustration, the physical metaphor. If a pinky, of course it's not it's impractical, but theoretically speaking, if a pinky wakes up one morning and decides, you know, I dislike my brain, I despise it. My brain is selfish, self-centered, disgusting, abhorrent, repulsive. I really hate my brain. You can despise your brain from today till tomorrow. At that very moment, the brain thinks about you and cares about you and transmits nourishment to you and vitality to you and energy, and you're now surviving. And the fact that you can despise the brain is coming as a result of the energy the brain is transmitting to you. It's just unfortunate that the pinky doesn't realize that the brain is his very true, beautiful identity and character and so forth. This concludes the parentheses, and in the continuation of the chapter, the Alter Rebbe will discuss another issue, which we will learn in Mirtz Hashem next week. What did we learn today? What is the message that the Alter Rebbe conveyed to us in this perek? In summation, since there are many details, I know it's a little nuanced and complicated, and some of the issues and the issues being discussed are new to many of you. Let's summarize the point that Alter Rebbe made here. The tipa, which creates a child, Alter Rebbe taught, is a physical embodiment of the soul of the father. The very consciousness, identity, and soul of the father is imbued, went into this tipa. A child doesn't just stem from a certain external physiological part of the father's body or the energy of the father, but rather a child stems from the quintessential consciousness and soul of his father. The tipa is the physical embodiment of the father's essence, of the father's mayach, of the father's very soul. The child is not just a creature, is not just an object, an entity that the father produced, that the father created. He is his child. Now this truth, that he is a child of his father, is true, the Alter Rebbe says, about every single part of the child's body. The fact that he's a son, that he's a child of his father, a son or a daughter, is true about every single part of the child. A father loves the fingernail of his son, of his daughter, as much as he loves his brain, as much as he loves his face. He loves his nose as much as he loves his glaring, beautiful blue eyes. He loves the hind part of the sole of his child's foot, which might be dirty, as much as he loves his beautiful face, his beautiful mouth, his brain, his wisdom. We're talking about a healthy father and a healthy child. I mentioned when in the beginning of Perek Beis, the Alter Rebbe is addressing here the condition the healthy condition with which Hashem created the universe. As the Alter Rebbe saw a father and a child, the father loved the child with every fiber of his being. And conversely, the child loved his father with every fiber of his or her being. Unfortunately, today, so often that is not the case. But essentially what Alter Rebbe is telling us here is that if that's not the case, something very unhealthy is happening. Because in the natural scheme of things, this is what type of relationship should transpire between a parent and a child. Did you ever see a real loving, healthy father embrace, kiss the child? He kisses the dirt in his toenail with the same love, zealousness, and fervor with which he hugs him and kisses his nose and his mouth and his head and so forth. Why? Because the totality of the child is part of him. The totality of the child touches him in the deepest way, touches him in his quintessence. Not only the face, not only the brain, the totality of the child comes from that tipa, which is an embodiment of the quintessence of the father. It's just that as a result of a nuanced, complex development process, so from the same tipa, various organs were produced drastically different. So here we have a head, and here we have a foot. Comes the Alter Rebbe and continues and says, you do not come and speculate and suggest that this connection, this powerful bond, exists only in the brain and the mind of the child. Why? Because that's where the child's soul is. That is the abode of the child's psyche, soul, character, and identity. So in that space of his life, he never left the domain of his father. Because that place is the life, the psyche, the character, the identity of the child, which is indeed a continuum of the essential soul and identity of the father. So there the bond and the connection, which is an essential connection, is still intact. But what about the other parts of the body? The other parts of the body are separate. The other parts of the body, since they're defined by physicality, physically the child became a distinct, separate entity from the father. They're now two people. Originally, it all came from the tipa, which came from the father. But nevertheless, now, the leg, the arm, and the other part, the other organs and parts of the body, are different. It's a separate entity, a distinct entity. And this physical entity of the child is obviously separated from the physical entity of the father. So in the place of the child's life where their soul, in his brain, in his wisdom, there we say the contact, the connection is in full intensity, intact, totally, nothing changed. We understand that. But other parts of the body, perhaps we can say, no, here there's a separation. So Alter Rebbe says the truth is not so. Why? Because the soul that exists in the brain is not relegated to the brain exclusively. That very soul and consciousness of the child exists in all the organs of the body. So the same connection that he experiences in his mind, he also experiences in all the other organs of the body as well. So the father loves the toenail and the fingernail of his child as much as he loves his eyes and his nose and his mouth and his brain and everything else. In every part, the child is in every dimension, every iota, every particle, as minute and as significant as it may seem, of the child. No difference, because the same soul that exists in the brain exists in every organ of the body. You're dealing with one unit, the same consciousness the brain transmits to every single organ of the body. And the same is true in the nimshel. The soul of a Jew, like the tipa, embodies the soul of the father. The neshama of a yid is an embodiment, so to speak, of Hashem's inner soul. Hu v'chachma sayachad. He and his wisdom are one. So the neshama, which comes from chachma, like the tipa, is the embodiment, the spiritual embodiment of the father's very soul and consciousness. This truth is true, says the Alter Rebbe, about all the parts of the tipa. In this aspect, the head and the leg are identical. The neshama, which is defined as a nail, is identical in this sense to the neshama, which is defined as a head. As a result of a nuanced evolutionary process, the very same tipa has been transformed into various organs. But all of them come from the same tipa, which is the embodiment of the very soul of the Father. So the neshama, which is the leg, is no less a chelik alikamim al mamish. It is no less a child of Hashem than the neshama which remained in the level of brain, and the level of mind. Lest you say that this connection, this bond only exists in the neshamas of Chachma, in the neshamas of Chachmela, because over there the Father's identity is still felt and realized. Over there the Father's psyche and soul and character and life force and personality is still felt. But in the other organs there has been a separation. Truth is no, says the Alter Rebbe. That very consciousness of the Mayach is shared by every single organ of the body. So every neshama is a chelik l'kamim al mamash. The Rashbats, one of the great Hasidim of the Tzemach Tzedek, Rebbe Maharash, the Rebbe Rashab, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Lubavitcher Rebbes. His name was Reb Shmuel Betzalel. He was a great Hasid. He was once talking about the soul of a Jew. And he expressed himself in Yiddish. He said, Aneshama is Chachmei La in Azak Fleish Mitzudik Ebeiner. The soul of a Jew is Chachmei La, is the supernal godly wisdom enclosed in a sack of meat with boiling hot bones. And he began weeping bitterly, remembering the tragedy, so to speak, of a neshama, the fate of a neshama. Every neshama is chachmila. Every neshama is a child of Hashem. Not just a creation, not just a product, not just something coming from his external energy. Something that's rooted in his very essence, and that has a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a child has a relationship with his father, and a father has a relationship with his child. That's the point that Rebbe was making here. Seems like the Alter Rebbe disregards you're asking the connection between a mother and a child. What about the powerful connection between a mother and a child? Okay, certainly, there's no question about it that the bond between a mother and her child, a son and a daughter, is extremely powerful. In fact, let's not forget that the identity of a Jew, what determines if he or she is Jewish or not, is determined primarily by the mother, not according to the father. In other places, the Alter Rebbe himself explains, in other Hasidic discourses, that the relationship between a mother and a child is far more deeper than the connection between a father and a child. But one thing has to be understood. In this chapter, the Alter Rebbe is not discussing or analyzing the nature of the relationship between parents and children. He is discussing the nature of the relationship between the neshama of the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that to understand this, the nature of this relationship, Hashem planted in our physical world a parable which can help us understand somewhat the nature of this relationship. And the metaphor for this in the physical world is the physiological, biological, and psychological relationship between a father and a child. So his intention is not to discuss a father and his child per se. If that would be his intention, he would certainly discuss also the nature of the relationship of the mother and her children. Rather, over here he's using the idea of the relationship between a father and a child merely as a metaphor, as a mashal to understand the nimshal, which is the relationship of the neshama and Hashem. Yeah. Yeah. Very good, I made a mistake. I said earlier that Moshe was born, that Moshe had a bris. You're saying that the Medrash says that Moshe was born mal, circumcised. You're right, ta'isi. He was born, there's a shita in Medrash that Moshe was born a mal, yeah. But nevertheless, in another place in Medrash, it's the beginning of Ayikra Rabba, it does say that Moshe Rabbeinu was given 10 names. And over there, actually, It's interesting, the Medrash says that Hashem swore to Moshe, he said, Chayach, that from all the names that were given to you, I am going to call you only with the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Only with the name of Moshe. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.